matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
And a very good morning to you all. If you're just joining us, you're very welcome to this Morning Focus on Clare FM. We're with you until 12 noon. After 11 o'clock, our Friday panel will look back on this, the first week of the year. Right now, though, I want to say a very good morning to a man you're very familiar with and another, actually, you may be aware of as well. But I'm joined in studio by Everest Conqueror John Burke of the Armada and Spanish Point and, of course, of the Elevate Foundation and by Gavin Hennigan, who's come aboard to work with them in Elevate as well. Good morning to you both, guys.
Morning.
And thanks very much for coming into us this morning. John, very happy New Year to you. Just, I loved your documentary, by the way.
Thank you very much. Well done to all the hard work Clare FM put in for Clarity. So it turned out great. Well done.
Absolutely, indeed. And I got some great feedback and congratulations as well. I know Avian announcing that you've got a bundle of joy coming in later on in the year and we wish you the very best with that. With regards to Elevate, how are things going?
Elevate's going really good. A lot of hard work being put in and it's all coming together really well. So we've been live since the school year started in September. And the first component that rolled out for us was our mindfulness program. So that's gone really well. We've rolled out mindfulness for six schools so far, and that's been five sessions for every first year in each of those schools. And the remaining schools, we have another six schools that we're completing between now and the end of the year. So mindfulness is really, really powerful, and it's probably one of the most powerful mental health coping tools that young people can learn. And hopefully, you know, particularly with mindfulness, that it's something that young people get an introduction to. It might help them cope better during stressful times in school or in their life at that age. But it's also a tool that, you know, that they can look into more and they can research more and develop more. Something that you can very much develop your own skills with mindfulness online and with apps. So hopefully it's a life skill that they will take from it. I suppose after our mindfulness, the next component is our working things out through Clare Care, the springboard project there. And that's starting to go live again now. And that's all around resilience. And again, it's kind of cognitive behavioral therapy, teaching young people how to deal with a stressful situation by reframing it in their mind. So very important. It's just one session, 1 3-hour session, 40 minute or 3 hour to 3 hour session depending on the age, and it just helps them to reframe a stressful situation in their mind and hopefully, you know, look at it in a different light. Okay. Which is really powerful, as opposed to becoming overwhelmed by something that might not need to overwhelm them.
We'll talk more about Elevate in a little while, but maybe just before we leave it, I mean, five classes done and more to come. You're talking about helping hundreds of kids already. You've ramped it up very quickly, considering, at least in terms of public consciousness, people probably only started to hear about Elevate after you came down from Everest. That was the end of May.
I think Everest gave Elevate a massive platform, but it also put a lot of pressure on to deliver fast because people became very aware of it very, very quickly. And when there was that awareness out there, then you kind of needed to be connecting with young people as quickly and as possibly, so that we could kind of, you know, develop a belief and faith in the organisation. And look, while we believe there's been a good start to it, it's very much the starting point. You know, we can see the energy behind it and there's so much more we can deliver. And there's great plans, and one of the new programs we're rolling out now is with Gavin Hennigan here, who's going to visit 12 secondary schools and one big joint youth reach centre where all the youth reaches are coming together, where we're actually doing a full day called Thrive for them, where we have inspiring people like Gavin, and we have Podge Collins and Leanne Moore and a guy called Jamie Harrington, who's a young social activist from Dublin, coming together. So these are just new things that are kind of come our way as a result of the energy and the support that we're getting from people. So very much, was it Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael said, a lot done, a lot more to do. But it's we're very much at that place now. We have an awful lot more to do, but we're going to keep working hard with it.
Okay. Gavin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thanks very much for joining us. I first became aware of you, was it 2016 when you did your big long row across the Atlantic?
This time last year I was out in the middle of the Atlantic, actually.
remind us of that adventure. It's not even your only one that you've done in terms of kind of difficult physical adventures, but you went from It was from west to east, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I went from the Canary Islands off Africa, obviously, over to the Caribbean, Antigua and the Caribbean. And it was this time last year. I started in December and finished on February the 1st. So I spent 49 days in a little rowing boat, completely on my own, out there in the middle of the Atlantic. So
mad.
Yeah.
I know Damien Brown is doing it at the moment and keeping an eye on his progress.
Definitely,
We spoke to him a few weeks ago on the programme. But what was really interesting, I guess, is, I mean, that's a fantastic physical achievement, but what perhaps makes it even more remarkable is where you've come from, and you've been very open about this, so I'm sure you're happy enough to talk about it. But going back a number of years, your life was in a very different place.
Yeah, so 15 years ago I ended up in a rehab, actually in Clare here, Bush Park House, not far from where we are right now, at the age of 21. You know, I had in a very dark place, emotionally, mentally, physically. You know, I'd had this realization, you know, through, you know, an intervention with my family, that at 21 years old, I'd never finished school, never learned how to drive. You know, I'd lost multiple jobs and was, you know, kind of moving from place to place. You know, I'd ended up living in London for the last 2 years, from the age of 19 to 21, in a small flat with no furniture in it. And that was because of drink, alcohol and drugs, and, you know, I was heavily addicted. And I mean, I can remember living in this flat, and I didn't have any furniture. I had a mattress on the ground, and I used to have the windows blacked out with black bags, because I didn't even have curtains, you know. And it was just this dark sort of hole, and I remember just waking up in the morning and just like literally getting stoned and going back to sleep. And I was just afraid of reality, and, you know, I could hear like a letter coming through the post box, and it was used to scare me, you know. So
I remember one of your interviews that I read, that you didn't see the need for furniture, that basically, why would I do that when I can put the money into drinking drugs?
I mean, that was like my logic. That was a crazy logic. Why would you spend that money on having furniture when, you know, you could go on drinking drugs? Like, so it was just absolutely insane.
You must have realised that what you were doing was very bad for you. You must have realised that you weren't, you know, living life as it should be lived, I guess.
I mean, deep down, yeah, I did. But I suppose it was, you know, when I look back, like, I think that, you know, the alcohol and drugs kind of was just really a symptom of what was going on underneath, you know. And for me, deep down, I had very, very low self-esteem. You know, I had a lot of anger and stuff as a young man. I was very, very angry. My father was an alcoholic. You know, he was not around when I was a kid. So there was a lot of anger there towards him. You know, personally, myself, I couldn't deal with my own feelings. You know, I was trying to come to the terms with the fact that I was gay. You know, I remember even in that apartment, there was a mirror in the bathroom, and, you know, I'd headbutt it from time to time. You know, you have these like cuts, you know, just underneath my hair there, scars from it. And like, so it's just, when you look back, you see that real destructive behaviour, you know, and I just had no kind of awareness at the time. And, you know, it took going into, you know, rehab and sort of getting kind of clean and sober from alcohol and drugs, and then, you know, doing a lot of work on myself over the years to kind of, you know, get a bit of awareness around myself and realise, you know, that I amn't useless and what all these things that I thought it was, and to really accept myself as for who I am.
Do you fall into that behaviour? Is there a point where there is a trigger that leads you down the road where you become an addict and an alcoholic?
Look, that's a hard one. It's a debatable kind of thing. You know, people aren't really sure. Like, is it something that's genetically passed on, or is it something like, I just know for myself, you know, personally, you know, I'm an addict and I'm an alcoholic. One is too many, a thousand never enough. You know, I just know that when it comes to alcohol and drugs, like, I need to abstain, you know, and I just need to be aware of that in everything I do. You know, I can take it to extremes, you know, but that can be done in positive things as well. And you know, that's kind of evident in some of the stuff that I've done over the years since being clean and sober.
So it's that same, as you say, in a much more positive way, it's that same maybe addictive personality that pushes you to to go and roll thousands of kilometres marathons.
All or nothing kind of, you know, and just kind of one track mind, you know, when you get it, when you get something between, you know, between your head, ears, you know, you want to finish it out and go
you
for it.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
What was the turning point that led you from a very dark place to getting onto the road to Bushy Park and to where you are now?
I suppose it was my mother, you know. So, you know, she had kind of been through so much with my father over before that, and you know, she kind of just pushed me towards it when I sort of did kind of break down after coming back from London at 21, and you know, I came back for a family funeral, and kind of things kind of quickly crumbled back at home again. I kind of, everywhere I went, things weren't getting any better. You know, I was kind of trying to, you know, almost do a geographical off. I just move here now, it'll get better, and it never did, because I kept, you know, throwing more alcohol and drugs on top of the problem. So yeah, she, you know, that was a pivotal point for her to, you know, kind of push me that way, and I did kind of go for the rehab. But then I suppose after that, I think it was probably the hardest time, you know, coming out of there after spending those few weeks in there, and then being kind of thrust back into the reality. And the reality was, a 21-year-old living in Galway trying to stay sober is a tough ass. So I had to kind of, you know, kind of divorce myself from all old friends and stuff like that. I had to get a new phone and things. But I was very fortunate. I met this guy who was also at a rehab. His name is John, a friend of mine, close friend today, and he was wanting to go surfing for the first time, and like, I hadn't any money, I was on the dole, and he'd actually been a DJ for a number of years, and he just sold his decks and his DJ equipment, and he had a little bit of money. He said, look, I'm going to buy a wetsuit, will you buy a board? And I said, look, I'll save up the bit of dole money here, and we can go surfing with, you know, the one board and the one wetsuit. So we took off down to Lahinch, you know, sort of in the middle of November. This is, you know, 15 years ago, to give this surfing a go for the first time. And obviously one board and one wetsuit between us. He went out first for a while, and I sat there in the car getting rattled away in the wind and the rain, and he comes in then, and comes to my turn, and I have to get into a wetsuit that he'd pissed in, and head out for a surf. And I didn't get any waves. I nearly got washed up on the rocks a few times. I just kind of flailed around in the white water for an hour, but I suppose something was awoken in me in those moments, and it was just kind of being, you know, thrust around in the power of the Atlantic, and it sort of woke something up in me, and from that point onwards, I was like, right, I need to do more of this, and that became, surfing became my new addiction, and I went full bore into that, you know, and my life really happened after that. And I suppose it was because I had a purpose. You know, I wasn't thinking to myself, you know, I didn't have the FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out. I wasn't thinking, geez, everyone's down the pub now having the crack. I was thinking to myself, right, let's see what the weather's doing tomorrow morning. Okay, you know, we need to go down to Lahinch again at 6 o'clock in the morning and go for a surf, you know. So I had this purpose and this drive, and that really kept me on the straight and narrow, you know, and it was really important. And that's kind of, you know, kind of the stuff that I've been chasing, you know, down to the years. I've just been sort of looking for something that really sparks something inside me, and you know, an adventure has been that. You know, it's been in one form or another. You know, I've gone and done so many amazing things. You know, I could go on about it for hours here. You know, over the last 15 years, you know, since being clean and sober, surfing, snowboarding, mountaineering, you know, sailing, rowing, you know, you name it, I've given it a go.
And it all started in a used wetsuit in Lahinch. And
yeah.
And why do you think that's, I guess, in inspiring? Because, I mean, it's inspiring for anybody who can physically have their body in such a shape that they can do some of what you have done.
Mm.
And that's before everything else. But in what way do you hope, through working with Elevate and some of the other bits I know that you've done, I know you're an ambassador with Jigsaw, for example, you'll have spoken with young people before. What about your story do you want them to tap into?
Well, like, I suppose for me, like, I just look back and I think about how I was when I was 19, you know, and in that sort of flat in London and looking at my life at that point, and it was just such a dark place. And, you know, I just really think about, like, what I thought about myself, and I just didn't really think I could amount to anything, you know, and I didn't have any belief, any self-esteem. And today I just look back and I think that was such a crazy thing to think, like, and I just think that's a really, really crazy thing for a young person to think about their lives in any sort of way. And I just want to try and help anyone I can, really, to try and believe that so much is possible. Like, there was so much possible for me at that age at 19, and I just didn't believe it. And I think, you know, it's hard for, you know, this transition from being a young person, you know, from, say, a primary school into a secondary school, a lot happens, you know, and your self-esteem can take quite a knock. You know, for example, I do, you know, talks for kids in, you know, fifth and sixth class, and, you know, I say to them, who wants to row the Atlantic? And they all stick their hands up, you know. I might ask the same question to, you know, secondary school, and they mightn't think, you know what I mean? They, you know, so something happens there, you know, and I think it's important to sort of...
They become cynical?
Yeah, a little bit, you know, and start, you know, that sort of... you know, that transition into adulthood, you know, it can be hard. And I think that's where I'm just trying to give people a bit more belief and inspiration, you know, and that's kind of what I've done over the years. I've just sort of, you know, just gone for these kind of crazy ideas and these crazy dreams. Like, I couldn't row 3 years ago. I had no notion how to row. And, you know what I mean? I managed to row across the bloody Atlantic. So, look, you know, if I, you know, and you know, that's just promoting that sort of sort of idea, that message, you know.
It's difficult though. I mean, you can tell a story in a timeline fashion where you've gone from a dark place to a very positive one, but along the way, and there has to be a lot of bumps, there have to be a lot of tough moments, and I always think it's really important that those are at least alluded to or told, that you share those as well, because you don't want to give, whatever age the kids you're talking to, you don't want to give them the impression that, okay, yes, they can do this, but it's not going to be easy to do it, you know?
No, like, you're dead right. Like, I mean, I suppose, like, rowing the Atlantic, you know, obviously it's something that's inherently very, very dangerous, very risky, you know, to be in a boat completely on your own for 49 days at the mercy of the ocean. And you know, unfortunately, not a lot of people can actually identify with that. You know, there's only been, hopefully, nearly three Irishmen that have just done it solo. Damien's out there right now. But, you know, less than 150 people have done it in history. So it's not something that people can directly identify with. But what people can identify with, and what young people can identify with, is taking a risk to do something. You know, like, so the middle of last year, you know, before the row, you know, I had, like, kind of almost, like, walked away from my job. I'd spent a lot of my own money on this, you know what I mean? I was in a, you know, a really scary place, you know, mentally and emotionally, because I was taking this huge risk. And I suppose that's the kind of stuff that people can identify with, and young people can identify with. Like, I really want to do this particular course in university, or I want to take off traveling, but I don't know how to do it. And that's kind of where I come in, as in I say, look, you know, you need to try and focus on this goal and not think of, like, this massive thing at the very end, just to do the next right thing, the next few steps in the process to try and get you towards that. And for me, you know, I have a lot of, despite the things I've done, I have fear, I have doubt, I have anxiety, just like everybody else. I don't care who you are, how successful you are in life, the number of things you have achieved, you have that in you, and everybody has it. It's just, I turn the volume down on it. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't. They have the volume up full blast, and they listen to that fear and doubt and anxiety. They think, I can't do that, I can't do that, sure. What if this happens? What if that happens? And then, of course, you know, they're living a sort of caged life where they're not doing the things that they really want
to
do.
And that goes back to Elevate and mindfulness and resourcefulness and having the mental strength to do that. And I know that's what John and everybody in Elevate is pushing. And I guess that part of your story is very much entwined with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I work with Jigsaw as well, and Jigsaw and Elevator are, you know, being kind of partnered together, and, you know, to promote sort of youth mental health in Ireland. And it's such an important, you know, thing to be doing at this point in time. So, yeah, just I'm really excited to, you know, share my story with a lot of these schools now over the next few weeks, and the youth centres and stuff, you know, and just delighted to be working with John. Like, me and John go back a few years. Like, we shared a tent on the side of a mountain in the Himalayas together, you know. So it's just a great connection. And, like, look, all these things that we do, you know, they're pretty selfish in nature, but you know, it's important to try and make it about something else and try and give back, you know.
We'll have more from Gavin Hennigan and John Burke when we're back in a couple of minutes time. Your text, welcome, 086 1800 964.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.
You're very welcome back to the programme. John Burke and Gavin Hennigan still with us in studio. Gavin teaming up with John as the work of Elevate continues to be rolled out across County Clare. And John, before the break, we heard Gavin's story in terms of where he's come from, how he's gotten to where he is now, and I suppose that the lessons that he hopes he's imparting to young people, and the lessons that you hope they'll gain from him as well.
Yeah, Gavin's story is incredibly inspiring. He's one of the most inspiring people I know. I'd say that now in front of him, but certainly, you know, Gavin and you know, for me and talking to Gavin before making that final decision about going to Everest, Gavin was a big part of that. I mean, he's very much has a clear track on how to deal with fear and how to deal with anxiety and worry and all that. He gave me a very kind of clear track and very clear thought process around it all.
You can see how, I mean, going through tough physical challenges, and we were just talking about another one off air where doubt can very easily creep in, but you have to put that to the back of your mind. And is that similar to the doubts that we get in everyday life? I mean, some of the strategies that you would have used on Everest, do you use them if they're having a tough day in work?
Yeah, absolutely. The some of the biggest lessons are what I suppose what I've got most out of Everest is the lifelong lessons and tools that I have now. And you know, I've said before, I've always been a natural warrior, and that kind of works well for me at work, because you're always under pressure, you're always putting yourself under pressure, and it kind of keeps you on your toes. But it can get too much as well, and it was plenty of times getting too much for me. And I suppose the skills I learned on Everest were around the space of kind of positive self-talk, mindfulness skills, relaxation skills, techniques to help me sleep, different things like that that really I would never have probably considered but for I was going to Everest. But I realise now how powerful they are, just like your mind can. And really it was, I suppose, for me, it was my mind that really got me to the top of Everest. It was, physically it was really tough, but it was the mind that allowed me to push through those barriers. And just like, somebody's mind can allow them to row the Atlantic or to climb Everest, sometimes people just need to believe in their mind to get them out of a dark hole some mental difficulties they're going through, and just to believe that there are techniques out there, there are supports, there are techniques, there are people out there that can help them. And I guess the biggest difficulty with mental health in young people and in all ages are, as people reaching out and looking for help and looking for support. And if Gavin can kind of encourage people, through his example and his story and the way he's turned his life around, that there is hope out there, and that there is amazing things you can accomplish if you just kind of push forward.
Because I was thinking of that, Gavin, as I was hearing your story. What can we, just Joe Public, take from it? And I think that, as you say, turning the volume down on the doubt and the anxiety, probably easier said than done.
Yeah,
but the mind is a powerful thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, it comes back to, I suppose, I spent all this time in the boat and all these other adventures and stuff like that, and what's the learning from that? Like John was saying there, what can people take away from it? And I've kind of tried to quantify that for me in a lot of ways. And one of the ideas that I had was, people said to me before I went out there, they said, how long is it going to take you to row the Atlantic? And I said, well, it could take me 40 days, it could take me 100 days. it was just this wild estimation, because ultimately that wasn't my decision. When I pushed off from La Gomera in the Canary Islands, I couldn't honestly say, hand on heart, when I was going to get to the other side, and that was something that I had to accept, so this little quote is really important to me, and it's very important, obviously, for the Clare Coast. It's, we can't stop the waves, but we can learn to surf. So this is my lesson, really, is about acceptance, and really identifying what I do have control over and what I don't have control over in my life, as well as what I did in the Atlantic. And what I did have control over out in the Atlantic was putting the oars in the water and taking one stroke at a time. And some days that went on amazingly well. I'd row 16, 18 hours, almost nonstop. And other days it was just a complete struggle. Like I'd get out of the cabin at 5 o'clock in the morning, it'd be pitch dark, there'd be waves coming over the back deck, I'd be sore all over, I'd sit down in the seat, it'd hurt my bum, my backside. Mm-hmm. I'd grab the oars for the first time after a few hours, my hands would be creaking, And I remember sitting there, just slumped in the seat and thinking to myself, can you take one stroke? And then I just sit there and I'd be right, I'd take one stroke. And then I sat there for another 10 minutes, slumped in the seat. And I said to myself, can you take one more stroke? And took that one stroke. And it literally was like one stroke at a time out there at times. And that's the same for people in their lives and daily lives. It's just some days it's tough. And it's literally, if you can get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other, sometimes that's enough, And I suppose it's just trying to, as I said, just link things like that, trying to identify those little lessons that I had out there, and try to apply them to daily life.
And giving yourself a break and not giving out that you couldn't do 10 strokes to start with, but accepting that
exactly.
I got one done, and literally it's how you view it, your perspective on things, I think is huge.
And there's a huge push nowadays for this sort of positive, positivity and stuff like that, and the reality is, we can't always be gleaming and positive 24/7, our mood, our emotions, our mental state is much like the weather, much like the clouds overhead. They just flow by and they're constantly changing, so it's just about acceptance. Sometimes we're not in a good place and that's okay, that one stroke is enough. It doesn't have to be 150 or 2.9 million, I think it was the amount it took in the end.
Counting every one of them along the way. Remind us, John, Gavin and others will now be working with you and imparting some of these lessons in more detail to kids right across the county.
Not this week, week after this. Gavin is on tour on Clare Schools, and we're visiting St. Joseph's and Spanish Point, Rice College in Ennis, St. Flannan's in Ennis, St. Patrick's Comprehensive School in Shannon, Tulla, Ennis Simon, and St. Cayman's as well. And we're also going to we're also bringing all Youth Reach Centres in Clare together for a really good event in Ennis. And we've got a few more inspiring speakers as well at that for about 4 hours. And we're doing one pilot scheme with a youth club as well. We want to engage more with Elevate, wants to engage more with youth clubs in general. They're amazing organisations, and a lot of them working in the heart of kind of rural Clare. You know, when you think about Mullick Youth Club and the volunteers and the work they're doing there with 120 members, you know, in isolated West Clare, it's just incredible what they're doing. So we want, Elevate wants to work more with them, and Gavin is doing a talk with Mullick Youth Club. And on a separate level, we're engaging with Clare Youth Services around potentially doing a big youth fest as well in Easter. So, but the visits to the Clare schools with Gavin is going to be, you know, a very significant part of our programme. We're really excited about rolling it out.
And as you said already, you felt the pressure to get things rolling, and you have done, in fair play, but there's a lot more to come in the years to come, and hopefully working with even more and effectively reaching every kid in the county, it seems, at some point or another.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're working in the space of wellness. You know, we have a broad reach through the schools, through youth clubs, and through events we're going to run. We'd like to do a lot more. We'd like to. Gavin is an ambassador for Jigsaw. We'd love to see a Jigsaw coming to Clare. You know, something that, you know, Elevate wants to start campaigning for as well. I mean, you know, there's no doubt the most important thing young people need, you know, when they're in trouble, is that counselling and is that space that organisations like Jigsaw and CAMHS provide. And it's something that we don't have the expertise at Elevate to provide, but it's something we're going to campaign for as much as we can. So that's the space we're going to move into now as well.
Well, fingers crossed that'll lead to what you want and lead to make a massive difference. Just finally then, I suppose, to finish with yourself, Gavin, I'm sure you're looking forward to your talks in Clare. I'm no doubt but that each and every one of the young people who'll be hearing your story will be mesmerised about it, as we were as listeners over the last little while. But in the ones that you've done to date, do you think that or what sort of a difference do you think you have made and others have made by sharing stories, by speaking out and by changing the conversation, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose it's just to get the story out there, you know. I mean, it's important to sort of put context to all this, you know, talk of wellness and mindfulness and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and it's just to pair it with a story and a real world experience. You know, I mean, I'm 36 years old now, and you know, I've had an amazing journey so far over the last few years, but I suppose I can still identify with being a young person, really, you know. I still haven't properly grown up, so I feel like I definitely you know, qualified to talk about that stuff, and if anything, I'll be showing them a few cool photos from my travels all over the world, you know. So it's not going to be all, like, you know, pressure on them. It'll be, you know, it's an interesting story. There's some good photos, and I know that you know, there will be definitely a level of inspiration to come from it.
Enjoy it.
Thanks very much
for joining us this morning. That's Gavin Hennigan. You heard from John Burke there as well. Yep. I'll just do one of the texts. The great man, John Burke, for all you're doing for the young people in Clare. A wonderful role model for our teenagers, as a texter. I'm sure we can add Gavin's name to that as well. You won't mind if I do just that. We've much more to come. Morning Focus in Clare FM.
Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your US getaway. Fly daily, direct and hassle-free from Shannon. Explore more today on shannonairport.ie.